During the Six-Day War, when the soldiers finally captured Jerusalem, it was a very, very moving moment. And the soldiers were on the hill and they were coming into Jerusalem. And as time went by, word got through on the radio that, Bechasdei Hashem, with God's help, Jerusalem, after thousands of years, is now back in our hands. At that moment, a soldier who was known to be religious started crying. His friend, who was not so religious, well, didn't Jerusalem, whether we get this, we don't get this, what difference, doesn't really speak to me. He waited for like 20 seconds, and then suddenly tears started to come from his eyes. So his friend, who was religious, said, I don't understand. I understand why I'm crying. 2,000 years, the Jewish people used to have the temple over here, the first temple, the second temple. King David was here, King Solomon. We read Tehillim, Shir HaShirim. We have so much of godliness. I'm so excited. I'm crying. But why are you crying? And the other soldier said, I'm crying because I don't know why I'm not crying. Why am I not crying? What? I'm crying because I don't really understand what I'm missing. I'm crying at the fact that I'm so lost that I'm not feeling the same thing as you. So this is a very important moment in our history. But it also brings home the idea that as we approach the 3 weeks, we are told to mourn, to cry. But a lot of us don't really feel any connection to the temple. I go out to the schools, the Jewish and the non-Jewish schools, and I speak to the young kids. And you speak to them nowadays and you say, we lost the temple. How many tears are we going to get? How many kids are going to be crying? Then we go to the universities. We lost the temple in this time. Okay, Rabbi, tell us a little bit about it. Who was it? Romans, the Babylonians? It's 2,000 years ago. Yet you come on Tisha B'Av to a synagogue and you see people that are crying. On Shiva Aser B'Tammuz, people are crying. They don't wait till Tisha B'Av. And they're crying and they're crying. What are we crying? How come they are crying and we're not crying? The first thing we need to know is we need to cry that we're not crying. We need to acknowledge that we need to be in a state of crying over the 3 weeks. What are we yearning for? What are we mourning? We're mourning the attachment, the connection that we had with God. We do not have the same attachment nowadays. You can be the most righteous person and you will have an attachment. But imagine that on steroids in the olden times where there was much more spirituality and where you could see God on a very close level. The Gemara says that when the time came and the temple was destroyed, the Gemara in Sota 60b says the following. The people came to the rabbis and they said, Rabbi, we're so distraught that we lost the Beit HaMikdash. We decided that we're not going to drink any wine anymore. Chalas, we make an Eder, we're not going to drink any wine. How can I drink wine when God's temple is destroyed? And not only that, we're not going to have meat. There is people till today, great saintly people, don't have meat during the week, only on Shabbat. In honor of Shabbat. How can I have meat? How can I have a beautiful steak when there's no Beit HaMikdash? And Rabbi Yoshua answered them and he said, but you're not going to have meat and wine, so what's going to be? It's going to be, the korbanot were with the meat, and the wine was very, very on the korbanot. And they go through, they said, don't worry, if we're not going to have meat and wine, we're going to have fruit. Why are you going to have, but you're going to have fruit? But I don't understand, you're not mourning the fruit in the Beit HaMikdash. There was Bikurim that was brought. So then you shouldn't have fruit as well. They said, we're not going to have meat and we're not going to have wine. So he said, okay, you're not going to have meat and wine. Why? Because you're mourning the Beit HaMikdash. What about, what are you going to have? You're going to have fruit, but fruit They also brought in the Beit HaMikdash. So what are you going to have? So they said, we'll have other fruit. The fruit that was brought in the Beit HaMikdash was a Shivat HaMinim. We'll have other fruit, apples and oranges. So he said to them, but then you shouldn't really drink water either. He said, why? We have to drink water. He said, but water was also offered up in the Beit HaMikdash. If you're mourning, don't have the meat because of the korbanah. Don't have the wine because of the wine libations. Don't have the bread because of it. Don't have the fruit of the Bikurim. Don't have the water. And then do a proper mourning. So we've got to be a limit, Rabbi. So the rabbis sat down and they said the following. Malahen banai bohu v'amar lachem shelo leit'abel kol ikar ei efshar. To not mourn at all, we cannot. Shekeva nigzera gezera, there's already been a decree. Ulehit'abel yoter midai, but to overindulge in mourning, we can't. Sometimes somebody gets hit, so they put themselves in a pit, and they dig a deeper and deeper and deeper pit. I spoke to somebody just now, a non-Jewish person, but with a lot of faith, and he says, Rabbi, it's all about the positivity I have. He had a father who was in the hospital, and another person next to him, the other person was negative and negative and negative and complaints, and it's all happening on me and me and me and me and me. The other person didn't survive. He said his father was positive. Whatever God throws at me, I know God's got a bigger picture. I don't understand the bigger picture. Hashem knows the bigger picture. So Hashem's in charge. God is in charge. And positive and positive and positive, his father survived. So to mourn a little, not to mourn, we can't. To mourn too much, we can't. Because then what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Really, we should be mourning completely. But you can only make a gezerah on a tzibur if most of the tzibur is going to do this. But if most of the tzibur is not going to do this, most of the congregation is too weak not to eat meat and wine, you can't make that kind of a decree. So what do we do? So in the end, he made a few decrees. First decree number one, when you come into, you build your new house, you come into your house, what should you have? You have a cubit by a cubit, one amma by one amma, which you leave barren. In honor to remember the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. You have a nice house, it's very nice. What about God's house? Where is God's house right now? What do they have there at the moment? Where's God's house? Where's the Jewish people's God's house? We have Baruch Hashem synagogues, but where is our house? The temple. We're not strong enough to build our own temple. We're not wealthy enough to build a temple. We are. But the third temple is going to be built by God Almighty. But it's not been built yet. And so how can I have my beautiful mansion and invest in builders and marble and everything when God doesn't? So you know what God says? Build it. Enjoy your house. Have your pool and have your villa and enjoy. But leave one amma by one amma. And that's for a remember that I don't yet have my home. When it comes to eating a meal, second decree, eat, enjoy, go to a restaurant, indulge, but leave a little bit on the side, tiny bit. Don't slurp your plate full. Don't slurp off everything. Leave a little bit. Zecher, to remember the Qurban. And when a woman goes out to a nice wedding and a party and she wants to put on in her entire jewelry, not to put on everything. Don't go complete. Leave one thing that she doesn't put. She's got three rings and two bracelets. Put two rings and two bracelets. She's got an armada of jewelry. Let her put, you know, this one. Zechel Echurban. So, it's very important. And at every wedding, we know, we say, if I forget the Jerusalem and then we smash the glass. It's always important to remember Yerushalayim. So, the first thing is, we need to understand why we're mourning. And we understand from this story of the people at the time, they were in mourning. They couldn't hack it. They didn't want to eat meat. They were ready for the rest of their lives not to eat meat. Go find me somebody that's not vegan that will say to you, Rabbi, the rest of my life I'm not going to eat in any restaurants. I'm not going to eat meat. No weddings, no bar mitzvahs. Why? Because God doesn't have a temple. They were ready. So we have to feel that. So how do we feel that? How can we get to feeling that? In order to understand this, let's see another Gemara. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara mentioned in Shabbat, Kuf Mem Hei. Rabbi Yochanan was a great rabbi called Rabbi Yochanan. He's the Amora, Rabbi Yochanan. And he was teaching Torah. Everybody's learning Torah. These people, he's learning Torah. And in front of him was Rav Chiya Bar Abba and Rav Asi. Two great rabbis are sitting in front of him. And Rabbi Yochanan's learning Torah. And then he's very tired. Why is he tired? Because he's been learning the whole day. So he dozes off a little bit. But his ears are still hearing. Sometimes you close your eyes and you can hear everything. So Rav Yochanan, even while he was dozing off, he was listening. And in the meantime, these two rabbis who lived, Rav Asi lived in Israel, and Rav Chiya Bar Abba was coming from Babel. In those days, he had a center in Babylon. That's where the Talmud Bavli comes from. And he had a center in Jerusalem, Talmud Yerushalmi. And Babylon was much more fruitful than Jerusalem because the Jews had been exiled to Babylon. So Rav Chiya, he comes from Babylon. Rav Chiya Bar Abba. And Rav Asi, he comes from Israel. And they start talking. And listen to the conversation that they have. Said to him, Rav Chiya said, Rav Chiya is from Babylon, he says, how come the chickens in Israel are so thin? Babylon, they're big, they're good. He's basically having a conversation in lower terms. He's dissing Rav Asi. And Rav Asi says, you think that they're thin? I can take you to Gaza and I'll show you fat ones. Tough. Then he says, Rav Chiya says, why is it that in Babylon, when we have Yom Tov, a day like Sukkot and Simchat Torah, it's very joyous. And over here, in Israel, it's not as joyous. And then he asks him a third question. Why in Babylon do the Torah scholars wear beautiful garbs? The great sages are wearing, adorning good garbs. But in Israel, they're not. Anyway, Rav Asi gave him answers. And Rav Yochanan, remember, is listening. And Rav Yochanan wakes up. And he says to Rav Asi, if you don't know the answer, keep quiet, basically. Don't answer stam. Don't give the answer. So look at him, okay, Rabbi was awake, we didn't realize. Rebbe, what's the answer? Why is it that the chickens in Israel are thin? Why is it that the Yom Tovs are not as fun as in Babylon? And why is it that the sages don't? So he answered them. And I'll go backwards. The sages, he said, because when I'm at home, everybody knows me. They know my knowledge. But when I'm outside of home, they don't know who I am. So I need to wear a special garb for people to know who I am. The rabbis in Babylon are outside of their home, so they need to wear a special garb. But the rabbis in Israel, they know what they're talking about. People know who they are, they're great rabbis. He says, why is it joyous, more joyous over there in Babylon than over here? Rabbi Yochanan answered and he said that in Babel, in Eretz Yisrael, it says about the Jewish people that the prophet says, your moons and your holiday my soul hates, they are a burden for me. You know why it's not such a good Yom Tov over here? Because we sinned originally as a Jewish nation. We got into exile. What was our sin? We weren't getting the sinat chinam. We hated each other. There was a lot of inward hatred, right? As well as there was Avodah Zarah, there was, depending on what was going on at the time, there was worshipping of idols. But in Babylon, there's less of a problem. And in Israel, there was more of a problem. And what about the chickens? Why are the chickens thin in Israel? He said, because the Jewish people were banished from the land of Israel. And when the Jewish people were banished from the land, there was a war. The Jewish people went out. And that left an everlasting effect on the chickens. Chickens starved, this, that, da, la, la, la. And the chickens in Babylon have always been fat and they've been chilled. Those were the answers of Rabbi Yochanan. Let's focus on his last answer about chickens. Chickens, guess about chickens. Well, let's work it out. The second temple, the first temple, okay, because you had the first temple, then they were exiled by the Babylonians, then you had the Jews came back, then you had the second temple, 420 years, and then they were exiled by the Romans. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan is talking around 200 CE. 200 CE means roughly two hundred years after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. You have to add, when did the Jews get exiled from the first Beit HaMikdash to Babylon? Then they came back after 70 years. Then you have 420 years. Then you have 200 years. We're talking about 690 years. Roughly 700 years have passed since they've been exiled. It's a long time. And even since the second exile, it's been 200 years. How long does a chicken live? How long is a generation of a chicken? So if you say that the generation of a chicken, let's say, is 2 years, they don't live long, 2 years. We're talking between 300 to 350 generations of chickens. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says, after those 300 to 350 generations, that chickens are still thin in Israel because of what happened. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying that there was such destruction, such contamination, such a vacuum in the land of Israel, that it affected the generations and generations of chickens. They couldn't bring it back. Oh, we'll resettle the land, bring it. They were never the same. And on a deeper level, what's way behind this is that the Gemara wants to teach us, because the Gemara doesn't tell stories. It's a nice story. The Gemara wants to teach us two things. Number one, how important Israel was to the Jewish people, and how if we keep the Torah and Mitzvot, we keep it, then Baruch Hashem, our Yomim Tovim will be joyous, the chickens will be fat, Baruch Hashem, the Chachamim are known. But on a deeper level, you know what the Gemara wants to teach us? There are repercussions for our actions. You do one action today, and it will have repercussions forever and ever and ever. And you don't know what the repercussions are. You have no idea what the repercussions are. I was speaking to a student of mine who's now older, and he was in a coffee shop. He's in a coffee shop, and he sees a lady sitting there with her son. And the son was face like Tisha B'Av, very sad. So he came over to the guy. He knows the lady was saying, you know, everything has your husband, whatever. And he says, what's wrong with this? So he said the teacher was very hard on him. So the guy changed. He made a bit of a joke with the kid. He cheered him up. And he said, you know what, actually, I made it an extra few bob. Here's £10. Go and, you know, go and spend it on something that you like as well. Afterwards, the mother texted the guy, like, thank you so much, you cheered up my son, you don't know. And the guy said to me, my student, he says, Rabbi, you don't understand. When I did that, I'm not just giving him £10, I'm not just investing £10. I changed, he was in his cocoon. He wants to do whatever he wants to do, he wants to go crazy, he wants to battle, he's very sad, he wants to take out what the teacher took out on him, on everybody else. I've completely changed it. And not only that, he's going to remember me for the rest of his life as a guy that changed it. He says, you don't remember necessarily, unless they were terrible, terrible teachers. The normal, like mediocre teachers, you don't really remember. Very bad teachers that had a bad experience on you, you remember. And very good teachers that had a good experience on you, remember. I always remember my primary school teacher that used to come at the end of the term, and she used to sit there and she used to have in front prizes. And we used to get, there was these figures, you know, these animals and this and that, beautiful. And she bigged it up like it was, you were winning a million pounds if you got this beautiful prize over here. And Zachita, and you're amazing and you deserve, wow. I remember her name, I remember everything about her. There are repercussions for our actions. The chickens, we went into Galut, what's the repercussions? Chickens weren't even the same. So we're coming to the 3 weeks. And we need to attach ourselves to the holiness. We need to understand the repercussions. We we were in the wilderness and they worshipped a golden calf. So what? That was thousands of years ago. Yeah, but in every generation, that's what Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. It all starts with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. The 17th of Tammuz, at the year the Jewish people came out of Egypt, they received the Torah on the 6th or 7th of Sivan at the time. And then 40 days later, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, they were worshipping a golden calf. And God said, I'm not going to destroy them now, but every generation is going to have a repercussion from this. And eventually, the Navi says, the prophet is asked. And the prophet gets asked, and he gets asked, Zechariah, in chapter 7 and 8 over there, the people in the land, they were coming back after rebuilding the second temple. Good question. Shall we still mourn Tisha B'Av? Do we still have to mourn the day that the first temple was destroyed? What happened for 420 years when the Jews were living in the time of the second temple? Did they mourn or did they not mourn? It's a good question. At the end of the day, the first temple was destroyed. There's a difference between the first temple and the second temple. And Zechariah answered them and he said, when you were mourning, when you were fasting, why were you fasting? What was the purpose of your fasting? You were fasting because you sinned. You are fixing your sin. So it's very simple. If you're not going to sin, then there's no point in fasting. You've now fixed it. You've built the second temple. But if you're going to re-sin, then definitely fast. And on the contrary, if you're not going to sin, then actually it becomes turned into a vessel of goodness. And Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, the mourning period, becomes a happy occasion. And he says, in the future, so says God Almighty, these different fasts, ranging from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Aseret B'Tevet, these fasts are going to become, Tzom Gedalia, they're going to become good occasions. It's going to become an occasion where we're going to celebrate. Why? Because from the difficult moments come the good moments. Sometimes they're a springboard for the good moments. And this is, Be'ezat Hashem, maybe we'll talk about that in the next Shi'ur, but the idea of Chag La Hashem Machar, turning difficult moments into positive moments. Have a great week.